Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by waitingfornextyear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Man, what a week for the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians Cast is here for another week. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by waitingfornextyear.com, the Evergreen Podcast Network. And, of course, our sponsors, Breaking Tea, t-shirts at breakingtea.com/dairy and the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Padres and Blue Jays come to town, and the Guardians win 4 out of 6. Todd, yesterday you were there. That was a street fight yesterday, baby, and they took care of business.
What a week, huh? I mean, we talked about this last week on the pod. Heading into this week, 3 against San Diego, 4 against Toronto, 2 of the, you know, I'd say definitely 2 of the best 10 teams in baseball right now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was just 2 against the Padres, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry, 2 against the Padres. Yeah.
But still, still.
It was the Reina. But, yeah. So 2 against the Padres, 4 against the Blue Jays. And to come out 4 of 6, especially the way that things went in that first game Saturday, and then just to come back the second game Saturday and dominate, and then Sunday, like you said, total street fight. I was down there 3 times this week, and it was great. It was great. I mean, I'm not going to get into the crowds, and I'd like to see more because people are hesitant to buy in, but aren't you having fun watching the kids play? And it's just, there's a different vibe than last year, like a real different vibe.
Well, I think it's a likable group. I mean, I'm not saying the last year's team wasn't likable, but there was dead weight on last year's team. There's no dead weight here. Is there?
You could argue. Well, you know what? I would have argued for Oscar, but then he as dead weight. But he had the big hit yesterday, and if he's playing once a week, it doesn't matter. Or you could say Yu Chang is dead weight. But yes, overall, not a lot of dead weight. I'm with you on that.
And, you know, the thing about yesterday is you're going toe-to-toe with the Blue Jays. Their starting pitcher, they had the advantage on the mound. The game starts off, you know, Pilkington's got everybody down in a 2-strike count and can't put anybody away. And that thing could have been a 7-1 final, and you could have said, hey, taking my daughter down there for a nice Sunday, and it's Mother's Day, and the sun's out. Yet this team fought back, and then in the 8th inning, you know, you got Owen Miller going deep. Then they bring in Simber. We rack him around. That's big time. And then to close it out, 1-2-3, that's huge.
It was a great finish to the weekend. It really was. You know, it's interesting because that game started yesterday. And, you know, Connor Pilkington, it's his first major league start. He's left-handed. He's facing that top six in that order is murderer's row. It's about as good of a top six as you're going to find in baseball. And the first 4 guys reach base, and I'm like, oh, God. It was 2-0 before you could blink. And somehow he managed to get out of that first inning with only giving up the 2 runs. And I was like, all right, you know what? If we can only get out of this with 2 runs, that's fine. The next 6 innings between the rest of the work that he gave and then what Eli Morgan gave, I think they had 1 hit going into they had 2 hits in the first, and then they had 1 hit between the second innings and the 7th inning when they scored the run where they took the lead 3-2. So I was really impressed with how Pilkington was able to recover. I mean, for a rookie to come up, it's his first start. They just, first inning, just make him look silly to start off. He's having a hard time, you know, finishing guys off, like you said. And then all of a sudden, he just was rolling. I mean, he ended up throwing, I can't remember the number, but I looked up and it was all of a sudden I'll have to look at the box score. He was over 80 pitches and he was still going. And I'm like, you know what? God bless this guy. He's really settled in. And I think he got something there with him. I really liked what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, his velocity went up as the game went on, which was good. And look, the bottom line is still run prevention. I say that all the time. We could sit here and go, oh, the Guardians lead the league in hitting, and they have the highest batting average, and they've got 5 guys over 300. I love it. It's great. And the clutch hitting's been there for most of the year so far. I mean, it's still very early, or a month in. But when you hold them in the second game of the doubleheader to two runs yesterday, this is the Blue Jays we're talking about. This is not, you know, the unnamed team. That's a real shame. And then
the last place unnamed team.
That's right. See in the playoffs, right, Miggy? And then that's a dish served cold. And then yesterday, holding to three runs, that's pretty good. Because you're right, you got Springer and Bichette and Guerrero and Hernandez. I mean, even Kirk and Espinal are pests, you know. Yeah. And you hold them down to five runs in 2 days. That's how you win.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, to keep that team down the way they did was really, really impressive. And on Saturday in the second game, you know, I'd argue right now. I was there Saturday for the first game and yesterday in this series. I mean, you could make an argument right now, and I think we need to discuss Shane Bieber. I think you make an argument right now that Tristan McKenzie's probably the best of the five starters that we have. And McKenzie was once again really, really good. You know, he's not overpowering, but the way he just mixes his pitches and he went down last year, came back up, and he really had found himself that last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. And he's completely carried it over. And, you know, there was definitely worry that, oh, you know, can he do it again? Is this a fluke? You know, he's still got the thin body. Can he stay away from injuries? Well, knock on wood, so far, he's been very good again this year. So it's a really big development. But the biggest development, I think, that we really need to discuss on that pitching staff is what we saw from Shane Bieber on Saturday, which was a fastball topping out at 89 miles per hour.
Well, I mean, there were a couple at 91. I mean, I know that it depends on if you're looking at the radar gun, if you're at the game on TV.
That's what I was. Or you're looking at the MLB.
If you're looking at the app and you're watching it, you know, if you're looking and following it on Gamecast or whatever, they had a couple at 91. But when you're getting only a couple at 91, and look, because he's got such an arsenal and a weapons of pitches, it's not the end of the world, but it's still a concern. You want him at least at 93, 94, because if he's getting behind in the count and their timing is fastball, it's doesn't matter how good your other stuff is. It still starts with that. So, yeah, it was not a good outing. It was not a good outing at all.
I was looking. I don't ever look at the radar gun except for, you know, every once in a while, if I'm at the game, I'll look up and I'll just see, oh, how hard did this guy throw? Like yesterday with Pilkington, I was looking every once in a while just to see where his fastball was. But I kept looking at Bieber. Every time I looked up, it would say four-seam fastball, 89 miles per hour. And, you know, I give my buddy Andrew Zellman credit on this because he says that you can get away with that when you're up against the dregs in the league. Like, you know, the first couple times when he got the pitch against the Reds or whatever, but you're not going to get away with that when it's the Blue Jays and a loaded lineup like that. And they took him to town, and something is not right there. And they can say all they want that he's healthy, but if he's healthy, why is, you know, he's a 93, 94 guy throwing 89 to 91. There's something not right with him. Clearly.
I mean, is he because he's coming off an injury? Is it that they didn't have a spring training? I don't know. I mean,
but right now we're a month in and he's made enough starts to where this would be, you know, he would be into the regular season here. We're more than a month in at this point. So, and it's going in the wrong direction. Also, I mean, it's not like he was at 89 3 weeks ago and now he's up to 91. He's going in the wrong direction.
Right. And I don't think they're going to go crazy about it. Obviously, he's going to get a couple of extra days here before he has to pitch again.
Did they move things around?
He pitched Saturday and
right. Thursday's an off day.
Right. Thursday's an off day. So he won't pitch until Friday this week. So he gets an extra day. Isn't that right? I mean, Saturday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. So
I'll be curious to see if they give him an IL stint, because something is clearly not right there. And do you really want to, you know, push this a little bit? I mean, listen, they know more than we do, but do we really want to push this even further and risk even greater injury? I mean, a guy, it's not like he's old. These are prime years here. He's, you know, so I'd be very curious to see how they're going to handle this moving forward.
And they could, I mean, with the way the roster is sitting now, I mean, they're going to probably bring Chang back up and bring and take send McCarty back down. But other than that, Pilkington's on the roster right now. So
So if they put him, you know, if they decided to put him on the IL, you just leave Pilkington in the rotation and call it a day, essentially. Especially with that off day, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. I just, you know, for this team to stay in it, you know, you keep thinking about it. It's, you know, with the actual wild card, they can hang around. They are, you know, it's very early, and as we know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But you're going to need the best of Shane Bieber to make that happen, and you're not seeing the best of him right now, and it's definitely a major concern because if he's not the frontline guy that can, you know, be the stopper and losing streaks, then I don't know how, you know, I don't know how great this season truly can be if they are able to make that run for the wild card. Yeah,
I think that
even for the division, to be honest, they're probably better off. They'll probably have a better chance to win the division to get that third wild card.
It might end up being that.
The division just continues to be total shit.
Well, I mean, Minnesota's playing well. And here come the White Sox. I mean, they've won 6-7 in a row now. So, and we're going to face them off a sweep at Fenway. Not that the Red Sox are any good, because they're not.
I can't believe how bad they are.
Hey, did you wake up for that Sunday morning NBC game? Breakfast in bed, baseball. I don't
sure
even.
Sure didn't.
Yeah, like okay, like you're gonna. They did some Vin Scully open, and I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, okay, now where do I find it? Is it on regular NBC? Is it on Peacock? Oh, this week will be on NBC, but then the rest of the weeks will be on Peacock. Well, cool. I mean, that's not how it works.
I understand that they're trying to cater to younger fans by doing this, but no, the baseball fans are like, you and I are like young baseball fans, and we're 46 and almost 49 here. do you honestly think that somebody like, you know, in their 60s is going to be like, oh, let me go to Peacock on the streaming app and watch baseball on a Sunday morning in the summer? Why would you possibly do that at 11:30 on a nice Sunday morning?
I don't know. And the other thing is, you're only going to upset the local fans that can't find it. That won't be able to find it. Like we have a game.
Is it exclusive?
We have. I think so. Yeah, we have a game coming up against the A's. I believe it's a home game against Oakland. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have fans at like 11:35. You'll see some on social media go, "Where's the game? I can't find it." And that's going to be a big problem. But hey, big week ahead. We got games in Chicago. We got three in Chicago, three in Minnesota. Both of those teams ahead of the Guardians in the standings. We got Liza Fest Saturday. I mean, this is a big week.
Huge.
Huge week.
But week.
What a win. Yeah, I still can't believe. I mean, yesterday was just like I said, it was a wrestling match yesterday. It was great. That was a great baseball game. And to come out on top,
really was.
Just to tie it with Miller's home run, which was so clutch. And his OPS is over 1,000. I mean, this is the Owen Miller we were hearing about. I mean, this is fantastic shit here from this kid. I mean, he's spraying it all over the place. And not even be done. Like, just to be like, all right, well, we tied it in the eighth. They kept going. That was what an eighth inning yesterday. Man.
Is it just me, or do they seem to be stringing more hits together than normal?
Well, like, yeah, no, they are.
There's more rallies and big innings than I feel like we've seen a lot of that lately. Maybe we're just so used to them not scoring, which is a sad statement. But yeah, you know what? Here's another thing. If you weren't down there this weekend, so Saturday and Sunday, Saturday especially, the wind was blowing straight in the entire weekend, and it was chilly. And when Owen went, I couldn't believe Owen went deep because it cut straight through that wind. We needed something like that, but it was really windy and tough to take that ball deep all weekend. So props to Owen. He really looks good.
He does. And again, now that you're getting Chang back, I don't know what that means. I mean, look, yesterday's lineup was kind of the lineup I liked, although I don't love Mercado in there. And sending Palacios down, I guess he's made some defensive mistakes, and I think that they want to put him in left field in Columbus and let him learn that position, because I think eventually he might be back there. you know,
well,
I guess
the stupid thing is Ahmed should be playing left field, and they just we. I swear we have this conversation. Every
I know.
Week,
but it, I know.
They, when they
this
trotted
type of thing happens to me every week.
That's right. Every week, when they trotted Ahmed out there for both games at Saturday at shortstop, I'm like, is he fucking kidding with this? I mean, I just don't understand why they just refuse to play him anywhere other than shortstop. It just baffles me to no end. It's like the only problem I see on the roster currently in terms of what they're doing. I mean, if you played Ahmed in left field, you could play Jimenez at short every day, Miller at second every day, and Naylor at first every day. And it would be fine.
Yesterday or one of the games Saturday would have been the time to try it out. Now, I know that the wind was bad again, but you know you can't do it this week. You can't put him out there this week at Chicago or at Minnesota. You can't. I mean, the place would have been to doing it, I guess, would have been at home.
They won't do it anyways. Listen, there are plenty of high-quality people covering this team, including our boy Zach Mizel, P1 listener. Why has nobody asked, hey, Tito, how come Ahmed has not played left field since opening day? Why has that question not been asked? Maybe it has, and we haven't seen an answer. But it makes no sense to me how that has not come up in conversation. Am I nuts?
I think that's a legitimate question. But maybe the writers are waiting for him to have a two-error game or another mess-up at short. You know, Jimenez is making plays everywhere. It doesn't matter if you put him at second or at shortstop. The dude makes plays. He's a wizard out there.
Does.
And he's hitting over 340 or whatever he's doing. So, I mean, you know, we've gone 16 minutes here. We haven't even mentioned Andrés Jimenez. The guy's been awesome. Love him.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I know batting average is not a stat anymore that anyone likes to look at. But when you're at the game and you normally are used to looking up at the scoreboard and seeing everyone hitting 220, and your lineup is, you know, 275, 316, 311, 352, 317, 347. Those are real batting averages of guys in the everyday lineup between Kwan, Jose Ramirez, Owen Miller, Josh Naylor, and Andrés Jimenez.
Right, it's not gonna stay like that. It's just not real. It's not realistic, but it is nice to see that the concept of, hey, you know what? The reason we didn't go out and sign all these free agents, the reason why we didn't trade for Austin Meadows, we've got to let's see what these kids can do. All right, well, we're seeing it. And right now it's been pretty good. Now again, they're still only 500 at 14-14, but I've had some injuries, Kwan being out of the lineup, the disastrous road trip. Yet here they are. I mean, they're playing well. So now another test this week. I mean, these are good teams they're going to face this week. Hot teams in Chicago and the Twins. Let's see what they can do. But to me, Andrés Jimenez should be at shortstop right now.
I'll tell you another huge development of the last week that we need to discuss. The last time we spoke, Franmil Reyes was in that 1-for-27 slump. He was striking out 4 out of every 5 at-bats. He looked completely lost. And then this week, it's like he just completely found himself. And I it was very interesting. On the way home from the game yesterday, we were listening to the wrap-up show, and they actually normally they go right to the Tito comments, and they said, we're going to talk to today's hero. We're going to hear from today's hero, Oscar Mercado. And the first thing Oscar did was talk about that, you know, they asked him about his approach and he said, you know, when I watched over the last couple of weeks, Franmil Reyes and the way that he handled himself during his slump, he said he never got too down on himself. He stayed with his approach. And while things were going bad, he still kept a smile on his face. And look at how this week has completely turned for him. And now he went from that huge slump to 3-for-4 on Sunday, 2-for-3 in the second game on Saturday, 3-for-4 on Thursday, 2-for-4 on Wednesday. So he's 12-for-23 in the month of May with 1,200 OPS. That's pretty good.
It's real good. I mean, they love him. You know, that his teammates love him. He's a giant teddy bear. When he went rumbled around third base on the Mercado hit yesterday.
Oh, my God. I knew Sarvey was going to send him because it's send him in Sarvey. But like when he the ball was in the center fielder's glove when he was like hitting third.
I know.
And
I know.
Turned to Brooke. I'm like, he's going to be out by a mile. I can't believe they cut that throw up.
Fine by me. Man, I can't believe Oscar delivered. That was nuts. Took it right back. Shooting ropes. Oh man!
It was when Adam Simber came in. I was like, "This is a good sign. We've seen this. We've seen this act before."
Yeah. Base hit, walk, base hit. Thank you very much. Beautiful. I can't believe that he pitches in high leverage innings for a contender. That's crazy to me.
Well, he's like one of their top two setups. Yeah,
I know.
Good for them last year.
He was decent, and obviously he drops down, but he's still – you talk about Bieber's velocity.
Simber, he's never thrown hard.
No, yeah. It's brutal. But, yeah, no, Franmil getting hot is just what the doctor ordered. And leave him where he's at in the lineup. I agree with him hitting six. Let's keep this going.
The executive producer brought that up in the text chain this week about, you know, we can't mess – just leave him down there. You know what? As long as Owen Miller and Josh Naylor continue to – hit the way they are, it's offering Jose Ramirez protection because, you know, you and I have long been of the opinion is we don't understand why anybody would throw anything to Jose with what's behind him. But hey, these guys keep delivering. You have no choice.
I have no choice.
I was just thinking that too. Do you want to know something? That was literally in my head too.
Oh, God.
As always, on the same wavelength. I guess
Uncle Artie reset. That's good stuff. What about the tarmac? Oh, that's good. That's a good bit. Speaking of Mac, what about John McCormack?
Are you talking about P1 Lister?
That's right.
We'll be seeing him this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Dairy Brothers Guardians cast right here, waiting for nextyear.com. A little Monday, May the 9th. We got pitching matchups coming up. We got to tell you about Breaking Tea t-shirts. I'm not on the website right now, so just bear with me. BreakingTea.com/Dairy. Browns, Cavs, Guardians gear, t-shirts, stuff to wear to the games. Yours truly might, MIGHT in all caps, be heading to Chicago Wednesday. Still yet to be determined.
But you got to go. Day game? Come on.
Yeah, 2:10 start. Might be telling my son, let's go. And you know I'll be in my Tristan McKenzie Sticks t-shirt or one of the Breaking Tea shirts, maybe even the Jose shirt, which I now have. And you can get them at BreakingTea.com, but put in the /dairy so it takes you right to the Cleveland collection. BreakingTea.com/DERY. What about the bullpen, dude? Brian Shaw yesterday. Shaw dog?
High leverage Shaw action yesterday.
he's got the new delivery going. Kind of drops his arm a little bit.
It worked twice last week, where he had to pitch in a high leverage situation, and it actually turned out, hey, listen, I've said this many times, I'm happy with him being on the roster. I'm all good with it. The only issue is I don't want him pitching in high leverage, and then he does it twice this week, and he was good.
And it's not like he faced the bottom of the order. He came in to face Vladdy Guerrero. I'm like, oh, boy, this ought to be interesting. And he got the job done. I mean, look, the amount of doubleheaders this team has had to play this week.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's got a pitch, and so far it's been pretty good.
It seemed like he tried to stay away from Trevor Stephan since he threw that game one on Saturday. He threw – was it – no. What game was it where he threw like 36 pitches?
Yeah, he struggled Saturday in the game you were at, right?
Yeah. So I think they were trying to, you know, give him a little chance to catch his breath, but – I'll tell you another thing. Eli Morgan, I was just under the assumption that Eli Morgan was going to be a starter and that he stayed up early in the year. And then, you know, they'd eventually send him back down when the rosters closed. But, you know, because he's basically your, in my opinion, was always going to be your number six starter. And if someone got hurt, that would be the guy. So Tito, I heard him say it again yesterday that he told Eli he wants Eli Morgan up here because he thinks he can be a serious weapon out of the pen. Yesterday, they kind of used him in tandem with Pilkington, and he was very good again. And Tito said after the game, basically, you know, we told him we want him here, but we need his length. So he said, you know, it's hard for me. He's like, I'm not going to forget. He said, I told him I'm not going to forget about him because I can't the problem is they need his length, and you don't know when you're going to use him. He's like, so I can't just throw him out there for an inning like I'd like to, knowing that the next day it's possible I might need him for three. But Eli has stayed ready, and he's looked very good. And it's another one of the major weapons you got in the bullpen out there that you can use. Obviously, Stephen Sandlin, Anthony Gose, and Hentges from the left side. You know, there's a lot of good options. And then I know Class A struggled early, but his last few outings, he's looked completely dominant, which has been great. So you get a lead with this pen, and it's been pretty safe. I mean, do you remember us blowing any leads this year with the bullpen? Like
the Yankee game.
Yeah, besides that one, with the five.
The Saturday game. Yeah, I mean, other than that, no. And obviously, we were in the game the other day that you were at, and Stephen kind of came in and struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's been pretty good. And again, nobody's hitting around baseball. I mean, the league the mean or whatever batting average is way down, and offense is down, and people are saying the ball is dead and all these things. And that's why I love our approach that our hitters have, because they're taking it the other way. It's a lot of singles and base hits, and this isn't a power happy team. But you got to still pitch, and you're right, you know. Tito's had to kind of maneuver it, and then you talk about all these doubleheaders, so you've had guys having to pitch on the same day. I mean, it's twice in a row now where Bieber and McKenzie have had to pitch on the same day due to doubleheaders.
In 1 week.
We've had a couple. We've had three or four. Haven't we had three doubleheaders this year, I think? So
Yeah.
It's working out, and you're right. I mean, you mentioned Hentges has stepped up, Morgan. Some of these young guys are getting an opportunity, and they're running with it. I mean, I don't think – I don't think it's going to be this good all year. But we also haven't seen great starting pitching yet, which was supposed to be the team's strength. What if that picks up? And maybe the bullpen comes down. This is how the whole season goes. I mean, we're only at May 9th. But I like the way the team's playing. And actually, this weekend, guess what? They caught the ball. They did pretty well, other than the wind messing with Kwan a little bit.
And Naylor. Oh, well, first of all, the wind was insane. Yesterday...
Oh yeah, Naylor drops the ball. Naylor drops the ball once a week. He drops
it. He did it twice this week, where he dropped like easy throws. I don't get it. It's almost like it's a concentration thing. I don't know. But the wind was so bad yesterday that the Guardians at second and third, no one out. It was a double, and Franmil had a double. I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Franmil, and maybe it was
Naylor. Second and third, no outs. Yeah,
and. Andrés Giménez came up and he hit a fly ball to right, which would have been a sac fly, and the wind pushed it and pushed it and pushed it, and Teoscar Hernández, who's an awful right fielder, he didn't even get a glove on. The ball just landed foul, and then it ended up that Giménez struck out. We ended up straining the runners. But the wind was so bad, so it was really hard to judge fly balls. So it's probably a good thing Ahmed didn't play the outfield, to your point. But
I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see him at all, to be honest. He can be the infield version of Mercado and just play.
Ags is of the opinion that he should be super utility and playing all over the diamond all the time. I just want him off the team at this point.
Same start he was off to last year. He ended up hitting over 280, but his OPS has never been great. He's never been a guy that's hitting for a lot of extra base, his extra base power. And I mean, 280 last year, great, but he heated up when we were out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like right now, we need his bat, but he's not delivering, and yesterday I liked the lineup without him, to be honest. And Mercado earned an opportunity yesterday with that hit. He did.
I completely agree. Going back to the pitching side real quick, you know, we touched on the pen being so important, so it just was a couple of things. Number one, Shaw has the most appearances with 13. Shaw and Class A have pitched in 13 games. Stephen, 12. Hentges and Sandlin, 10. And Ghost, 9. So those are your core pieces there. The rotation.
Core four.
One thing, with the rotation, Plesac did not have a great outing this week. Savali against Toronto, he battled.
It was better. It was a step forward, but it wasn't a giant step.
He gave up first inning. He gave up another home run. But he ended up getting into the sixth, and then he gave up a couple runs, and then they took him out. And it was so I'm hoping to see some more improvement from him. You know, I'm a little concerned. And Quantrill, who you and I love and battles, he's pitched 28 innings. He has 17 strikeouts and 15 walks. That's not going to play.
No.
And yeah, so that's going to have to.
He also battled this weekend.
Of course, of course. He always battles, though. I mean, I love the guy. I really do. So the rotation definitely could improve. I mean, all these guys have pretty high ceilings and can do it, and we've seen them do it in the past. But we're going to need to see if this team is legitimately going to compete for a playoff spot. They're going to have to get more from that rotation.
Yeah, no, I mean it still comes down to starting pitching is still vital, and you don't want to burn out the pen by June. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but unfortunately there has not been a ton of length. But if you look around the league, you know, even Kershaw the other day, I think the Dodgers were playing the Cubs, and he was so dominant, but they took him out after seven. And like, there's no one going nine innings yet. There's nobody throwing complete games around the league.
I think
that's why they have the extra pitchers.
One or two complete games the entire season. I know Walker Buehler threw one, and they were like a week and a half ago, and they're like, "Oh, it's the first complete game of the season by anyone in the majors."
Look at you talking NL ball. By the way, NL only. It's off to a lousy start. We're 1-3.
Yeah, that's not good to hear.
You know, team D's
who's underperforming for Team D's.
Well, Kim was off to a flying start at the start of the week against the Guardians for the Padres, and then he cooled off all weekend. And should have had Bednar. Should have started Bednar over Zach Eflin, who now has COVID. So lost some points there. But we'll have Bednar in today. But anyway, so the starting pitching I think is going to be fine. I do. Like, I'll be very interested in seeing how Cal and Savali do at guaranteed rate field this week, because I think the White Sox are starting to swing it a little bit, and you know that can always, going to play there in Chicago sometimes can get ugly for opponents because the White Sox can swing it. Now they still have some injuries, guys are still out. Jimenez is out. Who's back?
Moncada's back.
Yeah, that's right.
Being activated.
Yeah, he's coming back, and so is Joe Kelly. But what's his nuts bummer is going on the DL. So every time they gain guys, they lose guys, it seems like. But they still got Tim Anderson and still got Abreu, who just destroys us. So,
yep.
They have good depth. So we'll see. It'll be a good test this week for sure. I'm excited.
The good news is I don't want to get into the pitching matchups because I wouldn't step on the toes of the king of the pitching matchups. But I
appreciate it.
We're not exactly seeing guys that I'm scared of. Just put it that way.
No, but, the days of having to see Carlos Rodon with the White Sox, it's like, oh, no hitter. I mean, even with the Giants earlier in the year, he came in and shut us down. But tonight, Monday, we got Plesac against Kopech, who's been pitching pretty well for them, but he only goes about three or four innings.
I was looking at him, too. He's like 4-4-4-5. Yeah, he's not going more than five, and that's it. They really keep it low.
Yeah, so Tonet's tonight at 8:05. Quantrill against Giolito on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday afternoon, like I said, I may be hopping in the car and going.
What's going on with that? You're just going to meet him in Chicago?
It'd be a day trip, in and out. See some afternoon ball. Aaron Civale against Vince Velasquez, who's somehow resurrected his career in Chicago.
You know, I had him on my fantasy team years ago, and he was good. And he throws hard, but I'm sure he's not nearly as great as he used to be. But I'd much rather face these three. If you remember, after Giolito got – it was either the crackdown on the sticky stuff from that point on last year – remember, he dominated us early in the season.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we had no problems with him after that. It's that change-up we couldn't lay off.
Well, their best starter is Dylan Cease, but he pitched yesterday, I believe. He's not pitching in this series.
Yes, we missed Dylan Cease, and he's been awesome this year, too.
Yeah, he's good. And then a day off on Thursday, and then Friday night, Shane Bieber against Sonny Gray. Saturday night... during Liza Fest, Tristan McKenzie against Chris Paddock, and then Sunday afternoon, What's that?
That's to be determined on Paddock, because I saw that he has a sore elbow.
Really?
I saw this yesterday.
Okay.
Yes. So he that is.
That's how it lines up right now.
No, that's how it lines up. Yeah, I'm looking at the same thing as you, but I saw this yesterday.
And then Joe Ryan, their ace on Sunday against Zach Plesac. So Ryan's really good. Really, remember he shut us down last year, didn't he? Like no hit us for 6 or 7 innings.
Yes, and I think it was like either his first or second start, and he was really good. And he's good. He's there. You know, he's. I'm looking at his numbers now. He's 3-1, 1.63 ERA. 0.83 whip, and he is, you know, he's not a big, he's 28 strikeouts and 7 walks, 28 strikeouts in 27 innings. That's pretty good. He's only allowed 5 earned runs. So,
any relation to Jake Ryan?
Which Jake Ryan?
Ryan, the former
16 Candles,
or the football player? Yeah, the former Michigan player. There you go. There's a shout out for the executive producer for the day. His Michigan shout out.
Are we going to do a live podcast from the from Liza Fest this
weekend? Bring the equipment.
Do you think that the DJ will announce us the same way as they did at the last affair?
I'm not going to.
You
get,
remember that?
Yeah,
that's
I got
from the world famous.
Let's not do that. We did that last time. That we don't need to make that a regular thing. Plus, my wife will be like, "God, what are you doing?" So it'll be pretty funny.
Oh, it's so fun.
There will be a shout out at some point for the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. Just not sure when on the weekend, but yeah, it could happen. It could happen.
How was Mother's Day over there in beautiful
in Southeast Michigan? It was fantastic. It was solid. It was all good.
Well
good
for
good
Mother's
food,
Day
good family.
To Mary, more importantly.
Oh, the best. The best. She's doing great. How about there? How did you enjoy that nothing bundt cake we sent?
Thank you for sending that.
Yeah.
Mrs. sent that to Mom. That was really, really nice of you.
There's a free
plug. And I ate it. Oh, it was really good. Let me tell you, they want to give me free cakes. I'm in, man. No, ooh, it was good. It was chocolate chip with that.
Yeah.
With cream cheese frosting on top.
So they don't have a nothing bundt cakes in Ohio?
Yeah, they have one. They have one at Cedar Center.
Oh, okay. But you hadn't had it. But you hadn't had it before. You hadn't had it before.
No, of course I've had it before.
Oh, you have. Okay, all right. I didn't know. I didn't know. Oh, good. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, those are good. That's good. That's good stuff. Let's talk about the traffic on Chagrin. What's going on there?
Oh, why haven't they widened the street yet?
What's up in Woodmere? What's up in Woodmere right now? And man, there's a lot of controversy.
Make sure you don't speed. 25 miles per hour, baby. That's it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Big week ahead.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to see you this weekend, buddy.
I'll be there. We'll make it happen. It'll be a lot of fun, and looking forward to the fest and all the hijinks and hilarity that are going to ensue, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be a stone groove, 100%.
Oh, yeah. All right, so here we go. 14-14 Guardians, 3 in Chicago, 3 in Minnesota. That's the Guardians cast for you from the Evergreen Podcast Network. Thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein. Shout out to him. And also Breaking Tea t-shirts at breakingtea.com/dairy. Great to have Matt Underwood back yesterday, by the way. Any comment?
No, listen, I'd prefer Matt to the other guy. I'm glad to have Matt. But listen, Matt's a wonderful person, and I'm happy that he's healthy again. And it's crazy that I was listening to the A to Z podcast, and Andre Knott said basically he was the only one who, in this whole traveling television broadcast team, that didn't get COVID during that trip. So glad everyone's back and healthy.
No doubt about it. And an honor of Matt Underwood being back. We are out of room and out of here.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. they were able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.